I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everybody. Bonjour. Tout le m'appelle. Ça va bien. Et toi? What a cock. What a cock.
Went le all cock the way massif.
It went all the way through ITV podcast with a bit of French at the start. That's all I wanted to say, but I knew they'd edit it out.
Le coq massif.
Oh.
Hello, everyone. Hello,
petit.
Boy.
Le coq petit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Le bullfrog, le coq.
Yeah, massif was ambitious, actually.
Hey, lad.
We're back. And I would say it feels great, but it feels just like it did before, which is great.
Well, no, it doesn't. It feels like we're at the start of a field and the leash has come off now. We can just go.
Yeah, we can just say tits if we want. Tits.
If we want to do 20 minutes on the best way to put a suppository in your ass, then we can.
Yeah.
And it won't be edited out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for a bit of context on that. Because I realise I'm not retweeting praise here, which makes me feel sick. But I'm quite a few people have said to me, "When's the pod coming back? Have you stopped doing the pod?" And I've said, "No. Shanks and I've been doing the ITV World Cup pod. You go and listen to that." And they're like, "Oh right, where's that?" Is one guy said to me, "Is that on Zoom?" I said, "Well, technically, yeah, but no, it's not where you find it." But it's actually we did go down a rabbit hole talking about suppositories and the best way to put them in, because they're really handy when you've got a bad back and you're a rugby player.
Well, I wouldn't say rabbit hole. I'd say vortex.
Vortex. It got a bit dark to the point where we were glory holing suppositories.
Well, we came up with probably the best way to put a suppository in before a match would be to get an old bit of chewing gum, stick it to the end of that, put it on the door, and then slam it in. Or you could stick two together. You could stick two together end to end, and then two people could reverse.
Double-ended. But then it's exactly what Voltarol had in mind when they launched that product and started doing adverts on the telly. That's how they should have done it. But we resorted to my shoulders and elbows. This is mental if you think about it. Like, how did we get onto this? You started it. I'm going out to play rugby at a good level, like pro level, in the front row, mixing it with some pretty scary dudes, but my elbows and shoulders were so rooted that the doc had to put mine in for me. It's like, how's that work? How am I about to go and do that? Scrummage against whoever. And
put
like
on the end of a broom. Put on the end of a broom. Stood 2 meters away.
Stick that in, doc, will you? Yeah, give us a sec, Flats. Just put his rubber gloves on. In the end, he didn't bother with the gloves.
It's the backdraft.
He stopped handle the gloves. Yeah.
Checking the handle before you enter doors, like in backdraft, you know, make sure.
Anyway, Flats and Shanks podcast is back. It's bad, literally. It's literally bad. Hey, look, Tommy. How are you? Are you getting back to normal life after the World Cup? And in reality, life didn't change for us that much, really, did it? Because we weren't in France for 2 months.
I changed a little bit for you, didn't it? Old Dick Van Dyke. You had your punditry on your back, presenting at your front. pitch side on your knees. You were like this. I could see you down pitch side going, oh, I recognize that shadow. Mark Pugash. Oh, you did a good job, boy. You did a good job. It was tough. Tough, but you applied your trade in all different aspects. So,
well, that was all right, mate. I tell you how I look at it. You know how I look at it, but for those that don't, I kind of look at it like, let's not forget that you've got basically two sorts of people that feature on generally two categories of people that feature for major channels and major sports events and tournaments. You've got proper journalists who run it, people who are trained, and you've got sporting superstars who've got a ton of caps and medals. And I don't fit into either category. So I kind of, it's almost like if they ask if I want to try something, I will try everything, because I end up being the utility guy, squad player right. They can stick in.
Trisexual.
Oh, try anything televisual. telesexual. So no, it was all right. How did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's fine, mate. I think I had a good deal, actually, because the stuff I had to do was from London, so I didn't have to go to France and ruin my liver.
Yeah.
And then obviously when the semifinals hit, and when you're a broadcaster of my level, you get to pick the games you want to do. So, you know, so I was able to do some of the big games that I wanted to do. Italy, Uruguay. Georgia, Portugal, which are actually a really good game.
Uruguay, some
of the
big
ones. Yeah, so I got to do some of the biggest games of the World Cup. So it was quite nice and easy for me. Pick and choose. You know, I'm not that keen on doing France, New Zealand, anything like that. You know, Ireland, South Africa, and that. I'm fine. I wanted to do those ones that I did. So I was happy, mate. I was happy. And I didn't have to travel too far, which was golden. The only thing that ruined me one day was I got to the, and I thought of you on this, got to the hotel at Ealing at about 9:30. I was tired. Long day traveling /
tired,
3 hours.
Tommy tired, yeah.
So I went to my room, got changed, ready for bed / take my clothes off. And then John Barclay was running a little bit late because his flight was delayed. And he was like, a couple of beers? I was like, nah, mate. He's like, come on. I was going, no, mate, 43, mate. Just want to go to bed. He's going, I'll tell Flats. I'll tell everyone. And I was like, oh, you got me there. Oh, you bastard. So
I got to twist a rubber arm.
I got my clothes on, went back downstairs, and then went to bed at 2 a.m. Ruined my day. All because I was worried that I'd lose my reputation just being a good guy. Great guy.
Whereas, funny you say that, because the same person, Barks, he sent me a... I presented like the first two games of the day or something, and then you get back to the hotel at, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I'm on again the next morning quite early, or 10 o'clock or something like that. So he just texts me, you're at the hotel? Yeah. He just wrote, pints? I said, no. He's like, basically, Shanks did. I was like, yeah, I know that, but I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm already, you know, professionally bricking it a little bit because I'm presenting, and I had like quite a big Australia, Fiji or something. I had quite a big game the next day, and I was just like, no. And I resisted. And the next morning I was with Barks, and he just said to me, good decision last night. I think don't think he was feeling great. But one of the great joys of the Rugby World Cup for me was John Barclay's logistics and how badly wrong they went almost every week. He had an absolute shocker. His plane's delayed, cancelled, 10 hours in airports, lost his luggage, got to Heathrow, no luggage. And he went basically going taxi from Heathrow to the studio, but no luggage. So he arrives and says, I'm here on time, but I have no clothing. And by the way, I'm 6'4 and about 17 and a half, 18 stone. What am I going to do for clothing? So they stick him in another taxi to go shopping. So I think he ends up raiding like Lululemon, because they've got like that semi-smart, stretchy stuff that like trendies wear in shortage
loves
for meetings.
Loves him. Does a back somersault on him. That's his little party
exactly.
Trick.
Olympus jeans. And he's like, all that. And then on the way back, his flight got delayed again and again and again. And then he had his wallet and phone nicked at the airport. So they couldn't even ring in and cancel his cards. That was amazing, mate.
I was with him on the weekend. Shocker. We did 7 hours in studio. And it was like every time, like we were sapping. All right. We were just complaining. And then as soon as we went on air, just full of energy.
Yeah.
It's like, in a break, you had your eyes closed like this going, oh my God. Oh my God. And then come back live like, ha, 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 oh, yes. Yeah. Great point, Sean. Great point.
We had, I've got a friend who does, knows a huge amount about broadcasting, right? So he, well, two friends, and they would like help me a bit during the World Cup because it was so new for me. And the presenting thing is, you know, as you can imagine, is it's got nothing in common except being in the same room and wearing roughly the same clothes. It's got nothing in common with being a pundit at all. You've done it, haven't you, for that game that Ross couldn't make it for. I can't believe how different it is from the job that I used to do or did the other job. So got these friends that would help me in their little bit. And it was like, why don't you welcome people when you, instead of just saying, today Australia play Fiji, is like, why don't you just say hello? Because normally you would say hello. You'd never go on stage at a corporate event and not say hello. Just be you. Don't just, you know. So I was like, okay. So by the end, I was like, good morning. And then, well, that's the start. It's like, good morning. Then I was like, good morning. And by the end, I was shouting, good morning. And I was trying to make everyone in the studio jump. And on the last game I did, we went live and they're like, cue flats. And I was like, good morning. And everyone jumped in the studio and started laughing in my ear. But you realize when you watch it back on TV, it's not that over the top. Because like presenters, I work with Craig Doyle. And I'm like, oh my God, he is like, he's a lunatic when he works. And you realize how it comes across is not like a lunatic. It's just like a really energized presenter and it's perfect. Yep. So I was like, that's quite funny.
Remember when we did the ITV little advert before Wales, England? It was last year or the year before.
Yeah.
England, Wales it was. And
that's the most hungover I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. So I can see your soul just before we went.
You had it in your pocket.
But I remember you didn't want to get out of your seat and you didn't want to, the director was going, no, come on, you've got to give it a bit. And it probably didn't feel right for both of us because we were just going over the top because we like to give the bare minimum.
Yeah.
It came across really well. So yeah, get out your shell. That's what I'm trying to say.
But we're kind of, you know, as these guys I'm talking about, one of them said to me, I know that your sense of humor isn't like Laurel and Hardy slapstick and we're, hey, craziest guy. I'd be a bit, if I laugh, but I generally would be a bit drier than that. And you would be even drier than that probably. And they were like, but do you actually ever smile? I said, I do. Yeah. They're like, would you mind smiling on camera at some point during the World Cup? I was like, yeah, I could do. Cause all of the sort of quips and gags are so dry. It's like, they weren't meant to be gags really, but. Well, no, interesting.
You should smile. Like I lost my confidence a bit with smiling, then I got my teeth done. So maybe try that. I mean,
I would actually. Do you know, like all these, the lads who are losing their hair, all the lads get their hair done now. They get it weaved or whatever they do. And the tech presumably gets better. That holds no interest to me at all, holds no appeal. But I would go down the fake white smile like Topsy Ojo has. He denies it, but. He drinks Graham coffee,
Souness.
Mate.
Graham Souness.
Yeah. He drinks coffee and his teeth are whiter than Dulux, mate. I'm not calling him a liar, but I think he's not telling the truth about that. But I would go down that route if...
Yeah, I'll put you in touch with a good guy. Kevin Grassis.
What did you have done there?
Invisaligns.
What, you put little trays in, do you?
That's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, but my teeth are pretty much perfectly aligned. I don't need a brace. I brush my teeth. Well, my teeth aren't that bad. I just wouldn't mind having gleaming white teeth.
You'll get little trays for your teeth and you can put whitening in them.
Yeah.
Or come around my house and I'll get the old jet wash on it.
I just got a new attachment for my jet washer. Mm. I got a patio attachment.
Yeah, they're good.
Are they? I've not used it yet because it's been pissing with rain.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. I see you're growing a moustache. Fancy having a nose that big and underlining it.
It's like a rat's back. You got to mow like a rat's back.
Mm. Can I tell you something that went through me the other day?
And what?
It was genius.
It was undercooked chicken. Yep.
Yeah, Novavirus. So I was at a dinner on Thursday, a land aid dinner. Andy Lee organized it all.
Yeah, Durda's hosted it, didn't he?
So, yeah, Durda's hosted it. It was amazing. They had Sean Fitzpatrick, yeah. Maggie Alfonsi. They had Rob Henderson, Bobby Skinstad, Michael Liner was there. Rob Jones was there. Agent Davis was there. There was loads of people. And you know what happens during dinners? Like people sitting at each other's seats, come and have a chat with different tables. And I'd gone off to have a chat with someone, come back, and there was my seat was taken. So I sat in Bob Skinstad's seat. And he came back, and I thought, well, I'm not moving because someone's in my seat. You know, Bob, you go find your own seat. Do you think he did?
No.
Do you know what he did?
What?
He got behind the chair and he flicked one leg over the chair and he slid down the back of the chair and I felt his bulge coming down my back and he went slowly, slowly, slowly and I was slipping off the front of the chair ever so much until he got his whole ass on the chair and I was off the chair. And I thought, that is disgusting because I felt every...
millimeter of you.
Yeah. And I also thought, and I had the willies, but I thought, that is bloody amazing. And I'm going to use that.
Yeah, that's very good.
And again.
That's very, very good. Yeah. I mean, you've got to be careful who you use it with because you're knocking them onto the floor. Mm. You wouldn't use it with Jono, would you?
No, just females.
anyone who's physically smaller, so you use it with. And Bob Skinstad's quite a big bloke. Yeah, okay. Mm. That's very, very good. I worry about getting my leg over the top, though.
Oh, yeah, you'd be knackered. We'd have to get you a little step.
Get a little...
Wouldn't you win?
You give me a bunk up, put your nitty on the back of his chair.
Our mate Peter Scrivener was there as well. He did the auction.
Oh, how's Scrivs, all right?
Yeah, he's good. He had long COVID. I don't know if you know. It's like CrossFit.
Low COVID. Slow or long? No, long.
Long. Yeah, it's like CrossFit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like veganism. Yeah.
How do you know someone's got long COVID? They've told you already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult one. I really don't want to sound incompassionate or uncompassionate. I don't know which one it is. I don't want to sound like a bad guy. So can you edit this bit out? But I love Scrivs, but he went on about it so much on Instagram that I muted him. Mm. Is that too much?
No, I think it was a midlife crisis also.
I didn't really mute it. I didn't really mute him.
No, he was on great form. Everyone's on top.
He's always on great form. Yeah. He's always on great. And Fitzy, Sean Fitzpatrick is like, he's the king, mate.
Hmm.
Because he's been there and done it. He's a proper legend, like a proper one. There's lots of legends about, but he's a proper one. And he's, you know, getting on for being an old boy now. But if you're sitting with a load of lads from our generation who are kind of the most recently retired generation in the television area and media, and Fitzy walks in, he can slot in with the Willie John McBrides and the Sir Clives. He can go and sit with them and he can absolutely sit down at breakfast or in a pub with us, at the bar with us. And it's like he makes the chat better.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I sat with him on Eurostars and at bars and stuff a lot over the World Cup, did a couple of New Zealand games. And just at the last World Cup, just had a brilliant time whenever around him. I just think I often think if I ran a brand that wanted to be associated with rugby, I needed ambassadors and whatever. There's always like, oh, go next generation. It's like, there are not that many people I would choose if it was brand appropriate over Fitzy to represent my brand. He's just a great bloke, mate. And he loves a barbecue.
Yeah.
He's the king. He's the king.
Yeah. Proper legend. So that was a bit of fun. But anyway, yeah. So if you want to remove someone from a chair, I might use that in Cheltenham.
Like that.
This year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. So beware.
And I'm thinking about now, I've got like different pairs of chinos, but I've got like some Uniqlo ones that have got a bit of stretch in them. So that's what I need for that job. I don't want to be like shredding my gusset.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much.
But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I have to warn you, Flat. We're recording on Zoom, and we've only got 40 minutes because I'm not a Zoom pro.
We'll upgrade. We'll upgrade. We're trying something new. Just so you know, we watched The Long Shadow about the Yorkshire Ripper.
I've seen them. I've listened to podcasts. I've watched all the series. I didn't bother watching. No, actually, can I lie? I watched the final episode.
Oh my god. It was pretty good. The main actor, I've forgotten his name, but it was basically one of the most frustrating things to watch, even though you know what's happening, because these old school policemen thought they knew best and were actually ridiculous and obstructive and set in their ways. And it was very frustrating indeed and tragic. Thought it was pretty good. We're watching Time at the moment, which is the second series about prison. The first one was Sean Bean and...
Yep.
And Stephen Graham. This one is it's female prison. We watched one episode or two episodes, and it's really, really good. Really like it. But what I want to say to you, Tommy, is that I felt very strange at the end of The Reckoning, Jimmy Savile.
Oh, it's, yeah. There's only certain people who could play Jimmy Savile. Like Steve Coogan, because he's just so likable. You know, he's a cult figure. He's loved. And it's a tough role to play. He was bloody amazing at playing him. It was haunting, like, watching it. It was disgusting. I heard that he's had a couple of gigs cancelled because of it. But he's a big and loved enough legend to be able to do it. But I still, when I saw Jimmy Savile walking, I still see Partridge.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Yeah.
But I want to say it's good. It's not good in the fact that you enjoy it, but it's something that you watch because why do you want to find out how it actually comes about, how they catch him and some of what he got up to and how he got away with it for so long. So...
I mean, the fear around the power he exerted and because of his position and where he got himself to. It's just, we know all about it. And it's the reason I say I felt strange is that we knew what was coming in a sense. And it's just horrific. And, you know, I watched it without my wife, actually, which she's upset about, but I knew she wouldn't like it. And she definitely wouldn't like it. She couldn't deal with that. But when I say I felt strange, it's that we know the awfulness, but Steve Coogan was so amazing that you're watching it thinking this is horrific, but we are witnessing like a genius going to the next level here. This is like watching Messi score 5 goals against Germany or something. You're like, you haven't got to watch it because it's unwatchable for a lot of people. And there were bits of it that I thought, did they need to put that in? Is this not like, because you don't want to undersell it, but it's like, did they need to do that? It's a bit gratuitous, but actually he is just a phenomenon, Steve Coogan. I mean,
yeah.
Jimmy Savile may rot, but Steve Coogan's a genius. Yeah.
I got one for you. The Alpinist. You seen that? That's on Sky documentary.
The what?
The Alpinist.
Is that about climbing?
Yep. Well done. No, it's about eating alpine.
Oh, good. That was next, because that could be me. Just had some. Literally
sugar
just
free.
Have some.
Sugar-free?
Yeah, but my wife won't buy the... She doesn't want to get ripped off, so she buys Swiss-style muesli with no added sugar.
Okay.
They've rebranded, you fool.
It's good. What it's is it, Sky. Then? It's on Sky. It's about free climbing on Sky. And this young Canadian comes up sort of through the climbing ranks and with free climbing, it's like, who can do the next biggest mountain? Who can do it the fastest? It's yeah. just competition all the time. And documentary team follow him. And it's like, what was that one? It was on Netflix. It was called like
Free Solo.
No, like The Last Breath or The Deepest Breath, where it was about free diving. Yeah. About an yeah. Irish guy
yeah.
finding love with an Italian. It's like that. You're just on edge from the moment you start because this guy and some of the other climbers are just going up these massive rock faces. No ropes. They're not secure to anything. They're just doing it because they love it.
Do you know two schools of thought? One is, which is mine, actually, being honest, is that they're grown-ups, do what you want. They know the risks. Everyone around them knows the risks. The other school of thought is, God, if you've got people that love you, that is an almost uniquely selfish thing to do, is climb up sheer faces without ropes, and the risk of death is so high. And it's a bit like the Isle of Man TT. I find it completely fascinating, like captivating. And these people are allowed to do it, and that is fine. Go and do it. Adults are allowed to go boxing and, you know, go and do what you want. That is part of being a human being. But I kind of think this is verging on unreasonable at this point. Like,
You're putting your life in Mother Nature's hands, aren't you?
Mate, like, it's because it's like all elite sport, I guess. It's meant to be unrelatable for your average Joe. Like, people watch, if you were pitch side at some of those World Cup games, or even if you weren't, people say, my God, the game's physical now. It's brutal now. How do they do it? And you say, well, the reason they do it is because they've been doing it since they were eight and they're pros and they do it every day and they're used to it. But you're imagining it from your point of view, like you're imagining you getting chinned by Anthony Joshua or you trying to make a break against Ronnie O'Sullivan. They make it look easy, but it's otherworldly. But I look at that and think, bloody, I mean, Isle of Man TT, especially because of the speed, you know, free climbing, I know you're against the clock, but you can sort of do it at your own tempo. I'll watch that.
I've got something else for you as well. I don't know what you like on sort of documentaries about war, but this is on Disney at the moment. It was a National Geographic one. I randomly found it. It's called No Man Left Behind.
Right.
It's on Disney. And there's how many? There is six sort of docufilms about some army, some military, American and English, stuck behind enemy lines and how they get out of it. True stories. And it's narrated. And the snippets of the actual soldiers that were caught and how they exited. So you've got one of Chris Ryan.
Yeah.
Former SAS. He gets trapped in Iraq during the conflict in the 90s. And there's a group of SAS that are behind enemy lines and the mission goes wrong and they have to walk out. And he's the only man that is able to get out. But it's like a little movie of that, but also him talking about the experience as well. There's the real Black Hawk Down. That's really good.
Right, okay.
There's one of a Air Force pilot in Vietnam who escapes from a concentration camp. It's brilliant. And you actually hear them talking about it. So it's really interesting. The Chris Ryan one is amazing. That's the one that got away. I think he's probably bought a book out on it.
Okay.
But
I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and really start good. That today.
And I've got Jason Fox. I got a lunch with him coming up on the 1st of December in Gaucho in Cardiff. So
nice.
I'm even more interested now. You know, because I've got a couple of people in the audience that are former SAS.
How do you know? They can't tell you.
They're super army soldiers.
Yeah, SAS, SAS dads.
They're not.
Foxy, you'll love, you know, Foxy's top bloke. We're going to try and get him to Cheltenham, aren't we? We tried last year, but he was in Jordan. Not like that. Not like that. He was over in Jordan, but we're going to try and get him there.
I've got a little red laser pen, which I'm going to use. So if anyone asks a shit question, I'll ping that on them.
Red dotted, mate. End of days. Just so you know, I've been away a lot. I haven't been on the barbecue much, Tommy, but it's, as someone said to me during the World Cup when in Paris, when's the Field and Flower podcast starting again? Actually today I'm doing some smoky chicken fajitas. Basically, I'm going to do fajitas, but I'm going to make the spice mix myself. I'm going to do a bit of halloumi as well, but I'm going to put some nice charcoal and wood on there and make it a really smoky fajita fest is what I'm going to do.
Have you tried the Field and Flower spatchcock garlic chicken?
Yep. 12 times, I think.
It's amazing. I've got wild that to cook. I had the duck the other day, the duck and crispy pancakes. Which
yeah, I saw that.
It's amazing.
Saw that. Yeah.
And I've been doing loads of smash burgers. So the key to burgers, there is a key.
Yeah.
When you get the Field and Flower burger patties, I put them on the pan or the barbecue, and I just squeeze them with a burger press.
Yeah.
Key. And then you get a nice... You get a nice crisp on the outside, flip them over. The other key then is using bin juice cheese.
Yep. So the worst stuff.
The worst stuff. The cheese slices, put it over there. Then you put a little bit of water on, cover it with a clonch.
Yep.
Whatever it is.
And clonch,
steams the cheese a little bit and then toast in the bun. Brioche, if you like it, a little bit sweeter. I'm not too keen on brioche. I prefer like a white sesame seed bap.
Well, I did exactly that meal last night, but because I've got so many kids, I had two big kids in the sitting room and I was minding the baby while my wife was upstairs with the toddler because she was poorly and we're trying to keep her away from the big girls so they don't get poorly for school. So I couldn't go outside in the rain really with a little baby in my hand. So I did it in exactly the same, but indoors, but always cook your burgers in a nonstick pan, sure. Bit of water in there to steam it up, but keep the lid on. Always put a lid on your burgers. Always. Brio, it's beautiful. It was killer, mate. It's beautiful.
Oh. I'm going to go and order some Christmas stuff soon. So
yeah, I've been thinking about that. Yeah. I'm going to go
ribber beef and a smaller turkey.
Yeah, I'm going to go fillet of beef because my wife does this thing around it. She puts this stuff around it and then wraps it in prosciutto and stuff. That's a little tradition for theirs. But I'm going to go
beef Wellington, mate.
No, it's got no pastry, fella. But I'm gonna go smaller turkey. I might even get one of their like the pre-rolled Herbie rolled and stuffed turkeys. They prep it all, and then you can rotisserie your turkey on Christmas Day, and it is
good. Yeah, do you mind after Christmas if I come round with a carcass and we go for a walk? And we can dump them. Maybe set up a couple of cameras.
Now I live in town now. It doesn't really work. I've got to transport my carcass somewhere else to give it to the badgers and foxes, but I've got an incinerator now.
Yeah. I don't put bones down there, though.
Oh, I do. I love it. It's my favorite bit.
Or banana skins. I've had a couple of issues with it. So
doesn't like banana skins. Doesn't like fat from Parma ham or chicken thighs.
Do you know what I've got a problem with at the moment? Toilet. What? And I've tried to Google it. Now you might be able to help with this because I know you've unblocked quite a few during your time.
Yeah.
Didn't you once put a little note on the toilet after you used it saying don't flush, could be world record, off to get camera? But I've got a phantom flusher at the moment. I can't work out how to fix it. So it just flushes randomly. Makes a massive noise as well. Wakes me up at night.
Your toilet does.
Up. I think there's a leak, so it might be affecting the float, which tells you when the toilet's empty or whatever. I don't know. I've tried.
That's weird, mate.
But I open up my toilet and it's very complicated under there. It's not a simple one. I think I've had a cut and shut on it. Can't work it out. So I've got a guy come around to sort it.
I was going to bed last night and because got to do two washes a night because the girls for school have white kit and black PE kit's got to do two washes a night. And okay, right, so go to bed a bit late, a bit annoying. And it's fine. So I went upstairs and they were meant to be asleep. And they got the little LEDs in their room. And they got their own rooms, obviously, but they always sleep in the same room. They're 13 and 11. They like being in the same room. So it's cute and all that, but it means they don't go to sleep. Had LEDs on, which I said, turn off your lights, turn off your LEDs that are all around the ceiling. Okay, daddy, night, night, love you. And I'm like, go downstairs. And all I hear is, there's a switch of them turning the lights back on, like I'm a Muppet. Don't even let me get down the stairs. So I go back up 20 minutes later, I have a little read in my book and wait for the washing machine to finish so I can get the washing out and hang it up. And I'm waiting and waiting. I just creep upstairs when I get back up really quietly. Don't know I'm there. And they're talking about this boy and that boy and her. And the reason her skin is so good is because she doesn't wear makeup. But I am not wearing makeup. Like, no way. And so I just stand in my little baby's room where they can't see me. And I just push their door open really slowly. Then hide. And they panic. And they run and get the door. But they run and get the door. Push it back. So I wait, go downstairs, hang up the washing again, and I creep back upstairs. And this is all about 10 o'clock. And that backfired because they came down to my bedroom and ruined my night and didn't sleep. But it was worth it. They thought they had a phantom door flusher, basically. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say they come in and cupcaked you. Hey, did I tell you I went to Alton Towers last week? We had this conversation.
No. What was it like?
Yeah, it's good. Although my youngest was like 0.1 of a meter off being 1.2, which allows him to go on most of the rides, even in a pair of high heels, which he wanted to wear.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite enough. But I made the cardinal error of not bringing a pushchair. But that'd be all right. He's five. He's fine. I carried him nearly the whole way because he didn't want to walk. And when a child doesn't want to walk, you're knackered, aren't you?
Yeah,
I looked at my guy. I got a Garmin watch, not as flash as you.
Yeah,
at how many steps and miles I did carrying him, it was around 23,000 steps. Worked out to be 11 miles. My shoulders, my hamstrings, my quads, my knee, my calves, my back, gone.
Oh mate,
I had to do a bit of pool recovery the next day in Splash Landings, and I'm lucky I walked 11 miles the day before, because if you want to go on a joint ride, a joint water ride on a double ring, two people on there, you've got to weigh yourself twice to check you're okay to do it. And you've got to be under 130 kilos. He's 20 kilograms. So I reckon I shifted a couple of kilos just over the gun.
Yeah.
But I thought of you. I thought me and you'd be fucked.
Nothing. I could only take my baby on. No one else in the family coming with me. I've only got a couple of kilos spare. I'm not even sure she could. I couldn't even take the dog on. I've got a French bulldog, couldn't take him on.
So he's I was knackered.
That is killer.
It's a slog.
My daughter went on she's 13 and she went with her for a mate for her birthday. Her parents took him to Thorpe Park. She absolutely loved it. I text them saying, are you on your way back yet? And it's 8:30. They're like, no, mate, we're still here. Like, they're loving it. So that's fine. And then she's like, daddy, it's my birthday in a couple of weeks. Can you take me to Thorpe Park? I said, well, we can have a look at the dates. Yeah, let's have a look. Yeah, and five of my friends. Sorry? Yeah, well, you've got such a big car. So there's six of us. And take us the day, but they can pay for their own sandwiches. I was like, hang on a minute. You've gone from taking a friend to Thorpe Park to six of you having day passes and six lunches and six dinners. So I was like, I don't want to be a tight ass, but I'm not doing a grand on Thorpe Park. Like, I actively don't want to go. So it's going to be a hellish day for me, a long, awful day walking around. Not awful, but you know, not there for me. Carrying bags, listening to you farting on about makeup and refreshing your perfume and body spray every 12 seconds.
Norris Nuts.
And listening to awful music all the way there and all the way back. Like, I'm not, sorry. So I've just basically been like, no. So she is, I'm not, mate, there's limits.
I'm going to go up and back on the same day. Because we all stayed in the room. They had to sleep on the sofa bed and I couldn't turn. So noisy. Everyone's telling me to shut up.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing anything naughty, by the way. But
No. Right. 2 minutes left before we got to go. Rugby this weekend. Well, I'm going to Bristol on Saturday and Northampton on Sunday. What are you doing?
We could extend it. I can amalgamate this together, because that's how good I am. We can record again.
Can we?
For another 10 minutes. Or do you want to do it in 2 minutes 25?
do it in 2 minutes 22.
Go for it. Go for it.
I'm just going to Bristol on Saturday to do the highlights, and I'm going to Northampton on Sunday to live ITV game. Lovely fun, Tommy. We're going to have a lovely time. What are you doing this weekend?
The good news is coming up that we've got a couple of games with TNT in Europe, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, you and I.
Yeah, yeah. You and I will be nailing that / getting by just above average.
Surviving it.
I actually covered the Ospreys Sharks, which was first game in Stoop URC on the road the weekend. Yeah. Yeah, it was okay. Not bad. Weather was pretty crap, but
yeah,
Ospreys won. I am at Ospreys and Glasgow on Saturday, and I'm doing Scrum 5 then on Sunday.
All right, that'll do you, fella. That's a nice little weekend, isn't it? Nice little family weekend. I mean, it's not the opposite of a family weekend.
It's evenings, mate. It's fine.
That's true, yeah. It's Tuesday today where we are, and tomorrow, probably the best part of my week is I bought this old Land Rover truck, which I've told you about before, from my wife's cousin's dairy farm. Knackered old thing, and I'm meeting someone tomorrow about doing some bits to it, and they're from this isn't a plug, just everyone who's into cars, this sort of stuff, knows that they're from Exmoor Trim, who do like canvas hoods and bench seats and stuff like that. And I'm like, mate, I had breakfast with the CEO of Land Rover, Jaguar Land Rover, last week in Paris with Brian Habana. Like, it's like meeting him for me, because I don't know if he wanted it or not, but he got 300 questions about Land Rover's upcoming models and all that stuff. So tomorrow's a car day, and I'm very, very excited, like it's Christmas.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Got a Land Rover and you're meeting someone in the car park to do bits. That's what I took from it. Right. This is it.
Correct.
Mate. We're going.
Right. Well done, everyone. See you next week.
We're going.
Rugby. It's a rugby pod. Don't forget that. Bye. What up, boy?
I think 40 minutes could be the new.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway, right.
Right, well done, lad.
Well done, boy.
See you, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.